encounter with the Savior. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a wonderful way to begin our worship service this morning. Catherine, it's always great to have you in worship with us. And Bert, thank you for joining her this morning in our prelude this day. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning, First Baptist Elon. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this beautiful Sunday morning. And for those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning with your friends and family that way. If you're joining us via Facebook Live, I encourage you to pull up our worship bulletin on our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can use that bulletin for our worship service today, but also use it as a ministry resource for the ministries coming up in the life of our church. A few of those I want to point out to you this morning. I do want to remind our ministry teams that this afternoon at 4 o'clock we will have our church council meeting upstairs in the Truth Seekers Sunday School classroom. So please have a ministry representative from your team here for that meeting at 4 o'clock. I also want to remind our ministry teams and anyone else that if you have an item to place in our October newsletter, please get it to Janice today. We need that to her. You can send an email to her, or if you want to drop something off by, make sure you come by tomorrow drop it off to her so we can make sure we have room in the October newsletter for that. There will not be any adult youth or children's activities this evening. We'll be picking those activities back up next week. So I hope you'll enjoy your time with family and friends this evening as we continue to gather and as we continue to celebrate who God is in our lives. We had a wonderful start to our virtual Bible study this past week on Thursday night called Prayers of the Old Testament. This past week, we looked at the prayer that Moses lifted up to God, a prayer of praise. It's also been called a hymn that many have called after they went through the Red Sea. And that's what we looked at this past week. And this coming week, we're going to look at a different prayer. We're going to be looking at Hannah's prayer found in 1 Samuel chapter 2. So I encourage you to join me this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live as we continue our study of some of the prayers that have impacted Scripture, but also impact our lives today. Our September in-gathering is the food pantry items for Allied Churches. You can go to our website, you can go to our newsletter and find the items, the specific items they're needing right now. You can drop them off at church. We'll be collecting those through the entire month, and I know September is almost over, so if you have those items, make sure you bring them before next Sunday, but I'm pretty sure if you bring them next Sunday as well, they'll still be included in those gatherings. The last thing I want to mention and remind you today is this, and it's not in your bulletin. We will have a special called business meeting, special call roundtable meeting, 2 weeks from today, immediately following worship service. And there's only one item that's really going to be needed to vote on. We need to vote on who will be the at-large team member for the Vision Leadership Team. The deacons will be bringing that name in 2 weeks from today, which will be on Sunday, I guess it's October 9th. I guess is that homecoming Sunday? We'll change that. We're going to do it. We'll hold off until the next Sunday. It's October 2nd. Okay, there. That even works better. Sunday, October 2nd. We will have it right after worship service. It won't take long. It'll take about 2 or 3 minutes, but we want to make sure that you're aware of that meeting right after worship service on October 2nd. It will be in the new bulletin next Sunday, and the name that's being brought as well. We have gathered in this place to be molded by the Spirit. May our hearts be changed by Him this morning. Let us worship Him today.
Our first hymn this morning is Change My Heart, O God. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Change my heart, O God.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. Praise the Lord. When we came to worship this morning, we were expecting to sing songs to praise the Lord. But were our thoughts and were our actions praising the Lord? That's my challenge to you every Sunday. As we enter these walls, when we come into this place of corporate worship, everything we bring should be praising God. Everything. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this day. God of all life, beyond our imagining and yet coming so close to us, you refuse to leave those in need on the rubbish dump. You give the poor a place of dignity among the powerful. You make a home for the homeless, and you bring joy abounding to families and communities. As we gather to celebrate you and give thanks to you this morning, God, may we live within your reality, share your vision within our community, and do your will daily, that the whole earth may echo your glory. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
For great is his faithful love to us. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Let's stand and sing, Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah.
5 minutes notice for this. The senior trip this month is September 27th, which is a week from Tuesday. At 9 a.m. we're going to meet here, and we are going to Walnut Cove to a really old-fashioned kind of consignment store. It is called Just Plain Country Store. If you're interested in your own Facebook, she's on there, and it shows a lot of what she has. It's a very interesting place. It's a lot of fun. I've been several times. I've taken some folks from here with me. So we've all been up there and said it was worth a senior trip to. And following that, we're going to go down the street a couple of blocks to a little restaurant called The Milk Bar, which is good old country cooking if there ever was. And a big ice cream section if you want ice cream after. So that's the plan. Be here at the church at 9 o'clock that morning. Takes about an hour to get up there, but it's worth the ride. So I hope you'll all join us.
Wish I could play hooky from school and go with
her. I've taken her. Sandy French is our deacon of the week this week, and she's going to come forward and do the offertory prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and for giving us the gift of abundant and eternal life. Everything we have is yours, Lord, and everything we have is a gift from you. We bring our tithes and our offerings to you today, Lord, as an act of love and worship. And Lord, please multiply what we give today for the growth of your kingdom. Please empty us of sin and fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that you may mold us and make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
what a fitting way to lead into our sermon today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we encounter his word for us this morning. God of covenant and promise, we want to be a people of peace, of reconciliation, and healing through the Spirit. Yet, Father, we know often we fall short of what you would have us to be. We ask this morning that you be patient with us, just as a potter reshapes a vessel. You call us to reflect your grace and generosity daily, yet we know we often fail to live up to the call as your disciples. Help us to see with fresh eyes your image in each one we see. We recognize, O God, you blessed each one of us with skills, talents, abilities, and opportunities to minister. Help us to use our gifts for service and ministry in our congregation, in our neighborhood, and in our town, and wherever our feet travel. And now, O God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are assured of your great love for us and renew our commitment to follow Jesus the Christ, the embodiment of love, this day and every day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship this morning here at First Baptist Elon. I have a question for you as I begin my sermon this morning. Has anyone here been in a potter's house or a potter's studio? Now, let me say, I'm not talking about a pottery barn. You know, people been to a pottery barn in the store you can buy. I'm not talking about that. Has anybody ever been in a potter's house, a place where a potter actually makes vases and crafts? I'm seeing a lot of head nodding. Okay, good. Now, to those who have been there, was that studio clean or dirty? Dirty. I want to encourage you to hold that thought till the very end of the sermon. Just hold that thought. Most of the time, that studio was pretty messy. It's pretty messy for a reason. And we're going to hear why that studio is messy today. I recently read a story about a woman who was on vacation that was shopping in some of the finest stores in Paris, France. One day she passed a store in the window, she caught a glimpse of one of the most beautiful cups that she had ever seen. So she went in, didn't even look at the price tag, and bought the cup, and she walked around with it in her hands wherever she went. Every single day, she put it in her hands, and she would take the cup out, admire it, and carry it with her, almost like it was a pet, her very best friend. She would talk to the cup as well, saying, "I'm glad that I found you. You are one of the most beautiful possessions that I have." This woman could not take her eyes or her hands off this beautiful cup. Well, the story goes that one day, she soon drifted off to sleep. And that cup was in her hands. Now, I know all of you are thinking, she's dropping the cup. No, that's not what happens. With the cup fastened in her hands while she was sleeping, she had this dream. And in the dream, that cup started talking back to her, like you would see in Alice in Wonderland or Beauty and the Beast. The cup said, "You know, I am tired of you telling me how beautiful I am. I'm not what I used to be. I once was nothing but clay and dirt until one day a master craftsman came along and took me out of the mire. I did not understand it when he beat me and he shaped me. I did not understand it when he put me in an oven hotter than you can imagine. I could not imagine why he would paint me and then put me back in the oven again. But you know, I learned to thank the master craftsman, because if he had not molded me, I'd be shapeless and without form. If he had not put me in the oven of oppression, I'd have no structure. If he had not put paint on me, I'd have no color or personality. If he had not put me back in the oven to bake me one last time, I would have surely fell apart. And so I thank him. This morning, I think, like that cup, we ought to thank the master craftsman. We need to thank God when life seems to beat us down. We need to thank God when the heat seems more than we can possibly bear. We need to thank him when you have been painted with pain. We need to thank him when we're in the oven of oppression. We need to thank him. Why? Because we are being molded by him. You have your Bibles with you this morning. Turn with me to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11 this morning. This is probably the most popular passage found in the entire book of Jeremiah. And we're going to look at it in detail this morning. And let us catch up with the prophet as he goes to the potter's house and what he sees and what he draws from that experience. Reading chapter 18, verses 1 through 11 today. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I have planned. And if another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Oftentimes, when we read that passage from Jeremiah, we really like verses 1 through 6, but we don't like verses 7 through 11. Today, we're going to read them all and understand what's being said here and how it impacts who we are today. One of the personalities of Scripture that comes to mind when I think of a difficult road to travel is definitely the prophet Jeremiah. How would you like to be known as the weeping prophet? Because that's what Jeremiah was called, the weeping prophet. Not the strong prophet, not the well-spoken prophet, not the most favorable prophet, no. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. What a name. God called Jeremiah to preach to the Israelites about 600 years before Christ was born. The message that God gave to Jeremiah was not one of comfort. It was not one of joy. Instead, God gave Jeremiah a life of sermons about the devastation that was about to come upon the children of God. The kings of Judah had led the people down a path of idolatry and the violation of God's commands, and the words that Jeremiah spoke were the condemnation that was coming from God. The passage we just read, the potter and the clay, turns this idea of loving God on its head. It's a vivid reminder that, depending on human response, God is capable and definitely willing to change his divine mind about pending doom and blessings. One might read the passage and say, Where is the love? There are times in our life when tough love is necessary to bring healing and reverse the effects of poor decisions, to reverse the effects of sin and evil in this world. Jeremiah's prophecies of difficult times ahead and their fulfillment are a form of tough love. Who in here has experienced tough love before? We all have. We know what that's about. His foresight regarding arduous times ahead is a reflection of the tension between what is known as temple theology back then, and that was the idea and the belief in which bad things could not happen and would not happen to Israel because of the protection of God in the temple. That's called temple theology, and covenant theology, which was the belief that was a theology of rewards for obedience and punishment for disobedience. This was the transition that was happening for the nation of Israel. They didn't believe that God would do what he said he would do. Did you hear me? They didn't believe that God would do what he said he would do. My guess is most of the tough love when you just said yes came from your parents, right? What would happen if you said, I don't believe you're going to do what you say you're going to do? You got it worse. You got doubled up, tripled up, right? So back to the potter and the clay. So how does the molding take place? So how does God mold us? The first thing we need to understand is we are placed on the wheel. Jeremiah goes to the potter's house and he watches him work. The pottery wheel spins and spins and spins, and the hands of the potter surround the clay, yet the pot in his hand is spoiled. It's not ripe. We consider it good news to feel God's hands upon us regularly, right? When we know God's present with us, we feel good. And we feel good for the potter's hand molding us. Though we may not always feel God's presence, hear God's voice, or see God at work in our lives, we rest assured that God's hands stay upon us. The master potter remains at the wheel, transforming our situations, shaping us for service, and envisioning good plans, a renewed hope, and a bright future. God reworks us into another vessel as it seems good to him. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, though strongholds may bind and mar, God will never wipe his hands of us. Mercifully, the master potter desires our repentance and longs to rework us into vessels of honor, useful to God and prepared for good work. Jeremiah would have noticed that the potter was very careful to make sure that the clay was at the center of the wheel. After kneading the clay for quite some time, and the very fact is, in Jeremiah's time, the potter would not have just used his own hands, he'd use his feet as well. It was a four thing to do. It was molding with every part of his body. And when he worked out the air bubbles and he made it ready for molding, the clay was finally ready. The potter had to make sure that clay was placed right in the center, because the consequences, we would know what happens if we put it on the edge. The centrifugal force of the wheel would throw the clay off if it is not centered. The lesson was right there for Jeremiah and for us from the beginning. It does not matter what the potter is trying to do with the clay. If the clay is not centered, if we're not centered in God, it will not be workable. Jeremiah watched that potter at work, and he saw the analogy of God with humanity. Sometimes the pot gets marred on the wheel. Sometimes humans who create to do good go astray and they do evil. With clay, however, you can roll it back into a ball and start all over again. It's not too hard. However, with humans, it's a little bit more challenging. Similar to clay, we humans have a mind of our own. If you didn't know, clay has a mind of its own too. It likes to do what it wants to do. We fall in that category as well. So while we may be easily shaped, we do not necessarily stay the way that we were formed. We don't sit in the same way as Adam and Eve were sitting in Genesis chapter 2 when God breathed into the nostrils of this earthen vessel and made it alive. When God heated up, when God breathed into us, we were made new, but we're not still there. A clay pot gets heated, but remains the shape when set. A human being, when breathed into with the Spirit, is changed and ready to make change for Him. However, when life starts spinning faster and faster, we need something to pull us back to the center. That force that wants to pull us off the center, away from God's design, is pretty strong. The temptations, the misguided decisions, the desire for more. These are things that we face each and every day. Then that force keeps pulling us away. And one of the ways to stay in the center of God's potter's will is to stay active with Him in His body. That's the church. That's where we are today. Through prayer, through Bible study, through fellowship with Christian friends. These are all ways that we can stay centered. It does not work to stay on the edge, and then when things get rough, we go try to run back to the middle, and then, you know, things calm down, and we run back to the edge and back to the middle again, because guess what eventually happens? We all fall off. The clay, though spoiled, remains clay. So it is that God's people, despite their sin, still remain God's people. Always ready to forgive, God longs to remold and transform us. As Christians, we affirm God's gift of Jesus to mend marred situations and to restore relationships with God. Through Jesus, we now have access to that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, that continues to mold us in this place today. The Holy Spirit can resurrect our lives, transform our hearts, and sanctify us for God's good service. But that's just the first way. The second way we are molded by God is we must be reshaped in His will. The clay is not discarded, it is reshaped. There is a point of hope, is what is portrayed here, which is not evident when you read verse 10 in this chapter. That verse spoke bluntly about the plucking up and planting that took right in front of it. But the relationship between the two was not explored. Jeremiah didn't go down and he didn't chase a rabbit, as we often might say. He stayed focused on the will. If the clay does not cooperate with the potter, it is either made into an inferior vessel or it's discarded. We see here in the action of the potter a more complex dealing with his creation, you and me, implying a more complex dealing of God with all people. If a particular piece is not going well, the potter remakes it into something else. The clay is not lost. It is not discarded. So too with the Lord, who may seek to pluck up and destroy a nation or a kingdom, but if they turn from their evil, then the Lord will also turn from their decision to destroy. The word here in Hebrew for turn is to repent. It's the same word. So if we're willing to repent, God will not cast us off. There is the possibility of a change of heart if the people turn. If the Lord decides to build and plant only to find the nation or kingdom doing evil, then the Lord can have a change of mind in regard to punish his people. The Lord's plan is not set in stone. Unfortunately, we sometimes use our remarkable adaptability. And I think that's a very powerful word for free will. We use our remarkable adaptability and God-given freedom in destructive ways. The issue creates great anguish for Jeremiah. This is the sin that was taking place in his people. He sees Israel on the wrong track, acting in ways they are evil and unjust, oppressing the poor, forgetting God's commandments. They act as a marred pot that cannot even hold a little bit of water. Not like the beautiful vessels of God that he intended for them all the way back in Genesis. Can God start again and mold humanity once more? This is a question we have to ask, because there are some days that we go through that we think, you know what, God? You just should have just thrown me out. I was worthless today. Amen? You ever felt like that day? You lay your head down tonight and said, what in the world did I do today? We've all been there. Maybe it's a bad day where we've seen human evil. Maybe it's a bad day where we've experienced stupidity. Or just maybe flat out apathy. Can we become selfless? Can we turn away from greed or war or prejudice? Can we overcome addictions, apathy, and anxiety? Sometimes our maladaptive behaviors seem determined and fixed. The human pot, however, is already fired and set beyond all hope of change. But at the potter's house, the potter took full charge of the clay. He chose which piece of clay he wanted. He kneaded it as long as he needed to. He chose how much water to add to the clay. He made the decision how fast to spin the wheel. He chose how much pressure to place his hands on that piece of clay. He decided how far to go with that final pull as he pulled the sides of the piece up to form the height of the pottery. He decided how hot to fire the pottery kiln. It was all up to the potter. In reality, the clay did not make any decisions at all. It was the potter's hand. God is working with clay that is resisting his pressure, that rejects his water, that rejects his molding, and sometimes will collapse under that pull. We are the clay that talks back and contends with God, even though we are just in his hands and he is molding it. We need to learn to be still and know that God is working in our lives. And if we want to become what the potter has intended, we must accept our place in his hands. He is the potter, and we are the clay. The final verses of this familiar passage of Jeremiah talks about destruction of a nation and what can happen if a nation turns against God and if a nation repents and he'll hold back. And those are the verses we often overlook, and those are the verses that we often think, well, that doesn't really apply to me. But it all starts with one. It all starts with you. It all starts with me. And it all builds up. So there's a choice we have to make. We can choose whether we're going to be flexible and supple like clay in God's hands, or if you are already fired in the kiln and set beyond his help. Which choice do you want to be? Now, remember that question at the beginning of the sermon? Is that potter's studio clean or messy? And we know it's messy. I don't know about you, but in my personal pottery studio, where the master craftsman is making me, molding me, I hope it is an absolute mess. Because what that means is he's still working, and he's still molding, and he's still got a plan, and he's still in progress. And I'm not finished yet. I know I am not and never will be perfect, but I will be perfect for building his kingdom, because that's what he has planned for me. He's also planned it for you. And that's one piece of clay at a time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our master craftsman who loves us enough to spend so much time in molding us into who you would have us be. Father, sometimes we feel like we end the day and think, I don't know if I did anything for you today, God. But then we remember how you were shaping us and shifting our minds to reflect and pray for someone, or calling someone who needed to be reached out to, or just simply thinking about those in need. Father, we know we're a work in progress. May we be set with our eyes focused on you, and may we continue to build the kingdom, the one that you have established here on earth and continue to build in heaven. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to the time of invitation this morning, maybe for the very first time, you realize that Jesus Christ is molding you. He has molded you into the person you are today. And if that's the call on your life today and you've never acknowledged that in person, I encourage you to come forward. And let me talk to you what it means to be saved by him. Or maybe today you're looking for just a church home that seeks to be molded and needed, and we are a work in progress, and we know that, and we're desiring that. First Baptist Elon is a place for you. Or just today, if you just need to be molded where you are, or at the altar, and it is God's altar, whatever decision you need to make, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. face of the day. Know that you are still being molded. Turn yourselves over to his hands, and he will direct your path. Go in peace.